Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Nun Gimel. We left off in daf Nun Bezam Bezer. We're at the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Nun Bezam Bezer. Here's our sponsor once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Leah Shalom, as well as by Chani and J.J. Hornblass, in memory of Chani's father, Meir Penstein, Zichrona Levracha, Meir Yosef and Avram, and Hashem Shav Naliyah. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the most of the daf is going to talk about Bittul of Avodah Zarah. The first Mishnah is going to talk about who can be Mevatel and Avodah Zarah, whether Yisrael could be Mevatel and Avodah Zarah, and Ovid Chavim could be Mevatel and Avodah Zarah, and also when Mishamshei Avodah Zarah are considered to be Batel or not. The Gemara is going to tell us that Rebbe had a change of opinion about a Nachri being Mevatel and Avodah Zarah Shal Yisrael, so we're going to try to figure out Meikara Maika Savar L'Basof Maika Savar, why did he change his mind, and the Gemara is also going to talk about whether an Avodah Zarah that's owned b'shutfus between the Yisrael and the Nachri is subject to Bittul. Then the Mishnah on the top of Amud Aleph is going to talk about what works and what doesn't work to be Mevatel and Avodah Zarah, meaning not who could be Mevatel the Avodah Zarah, but how is one Mevatel and Avodah Zarah? What do you do to it in order to be Mevatel it? The Gemara is going to explain both the logic and the circumstances of the Machlokas about being Mevatel and Avodah Zarah by selling it. There's a machlokas in the Mishnah whether selling an Avodah Zarah is a form of bittul. So we're going to explain what the logic for each side is and what the case is. Are we talking about Avodah Zarah Shal Yisrael, Avodah Zarah Shal Akum? Who are you selling it to? So then the Gemara is going to talk about whether different forms of abandonment of an Avodah Zarah are considered to be bittul. That different types of just leaving it is considered to be a sense of bittul. The Gemara is going to discuss laws of Avodah Zarah that are derived from Melchemes Yehoshua, and then the Mishnah on halfway down the page on Gimel and Beis is going to give us more cases of abandonment of Avodah Zarah, and then the Gemara is going to discuss at the end of the daf the status of a pedestal for an Avodah Zarah, and what happens if that pedestal breaks, is the whatever status it had, is that status no longer there. So let's begin, a lot to do, let's begin at the Mishnah on daf Nun Beis on Beis. Ovid Chav Mevat Avodah Chav Shalom, Vishal Chavero, Novicham Mevatel his own Avodah Zarah, and another Nachri's Avodah Zarah. Yisrael in Mevatel Vizcham Shalom Chavim. But Yisrael cannot be Mevatel in Avodah Zarah of Novid Chavim, because Idafka says, Psile Elohehem, where we darshan that you can passel and be Mevatel, but it's Elohehem, it's their gods. But Yisrael cannot be Mevatel in Avodah Zarah Shal Nachri. Hamvatel Vizchavim, Mevatel Misham Sheha. When one is Mevatel and Avodah Zarah, the Mishamshei Avodah Zarah are automatically Batel along with it. Even if you do not do a Maisa Bittul on the Mishamshei Avodah Zarah, once the Iker is gone, the Tafel is gone with it. Bittul Mishamshei, but if you're only Mevatel the Mishamshei Avodah Zarah, Mishamshei Mutarin Vihi Asura, then the Mishamshei Avodah Zarah are in fact Batel, but the core Avodah Zarah is still going to be Asir. So says Mar Masni, the Rebbe, the Rabbi Shimon Berei, Rebbe taught his son Rabbi Shimon the following, that an Ovid Chavim, he taught him our Mishnah, that an Ovid Chavim could be Mevatel his own Avodah Zarah, and he could be Mevatel another Nachri's Avodah Zarah. So Amalei, Rabbi Shimon said, Rebbe, or Dad, right? Meaning, we showed him a little bother. Why is he calling him Rebbe? Why don't you call him Avi Mori? He was his Rebbe, because he was his Rebbe Mufak, and your father is also your Rebbe Mufak. You call him Rebbe rather than Avi, because the Chi of Kavod to a Rebbe Mufak is greater than the Chi of Kavod one has to a father, because the Mishnah of Metziah Daf Lam Gimel tells us that Aviv Mevi'il L'Chayil Mazeh, but the Rebbe is Mevi'il L'Chayil Maba, and therefore since the Chi of Kavod is greater, so that's what Darki Moshe writes in Yerodeh Asim Reish Mem Beis, that's why he Dafka calls him Rebbe as opposed to Avi. The Shach writes that the fact that he called him Rebbe is because he was more chashuv. That's what the Gemara says, that from the days of Moshe ad Rebbe, we didn't find Torah Gedula b'makom echad. But when it comes to other people who their father is also their Rebbe, that is not the minhag. Typically, if your father is also your Rebbe, you still call him Dad. You don't call him Rebbe. But this Rebbe was different. He was a Rebbe for all time. He was from the Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no one like him. So he deserves the title of Rebbe even from his own child. But anyway, so Rabbi Shimon says, Rebbe, well, you're telling me that a Nachri is able ruled in Vatal Avodah Zarah Shalov Vishal Chavero, so it's Meduyak that an Avodah Zarah Shal Yisrael, the Nachri, is not able to be Mevatel. That's what you're implying. Well, Shanisalon Bialdusecha, but when you were young, you told us that Avodah Mevatel Avodah Shalov Vishal Yisrael, that Avodah Chavim could even be Mevatel Avodah Zarah Shal Yisrael. So it's a steer between what you used to say and what you're saying right now. So the Gemara says, Di Yisrael, Mika Mevatel, Vavasam Besesarksiv. How could there even be Havamina that he could be Mevatel and Avodah Zarah of Yisrael? After all, doesn't the Pasuk say that you need to put it away, you need to put it in Geniza? If you could just be Mevatel it, why would you have to put it in Geniza? So Am Rabbi Hillel, Breid Rabbi Volos, Lo Nitzrucha Sheyesh Lo Ba Shutfus. When the Mishnah that Rebbe taught when he was young to tell us that a Nachri is able to be Mevatel Avodah Zarah Shal Yisrael is only a case where the Nachri has a Shutfus with the Yisrael in the Avodah Zarah. So that's why he's able to be Mevatel even the Yisrael's portion of the Avodah Zarah. But an Avodah Zarah that belongs exclusively to Yisrael, that in a Chinam you cannot be Mevatel at all. And that's what Rabbi taught us when he was young. And when he got older, he changed his mind and he said that even if a Nachri does have a Shutfus with the Yisrael in the Avodah Zarah, he's still not able to be Mevatel the Chelek of the Yisrael. He can only be Mevatel his Chelek. So that's where he did in fact change his mind, but not about an Avodah Zarah that was exclusively owned by Yisrael. That's a non-starter. V'sam baseser, that there is no being Mevatel, not by the Yisrael and not by the Nachri. He changed his mind about an Avodah Zarah that was owned b'shutfus, that initially he thought that the Nachri could not, just like he could be Mevatel his own half of it, he could be Mevatel the Yisrael's half as well. And then when he got older, he said, you know what, he cannot be Mevatel the Yisrael's half. So Bialdusa Maikasavar, B'zuknusa Maikasavar. What did he hold in the first place, and why did he change his mind? Why did he change his mind at some point? So Bialdusa Savri Yisrael Adaita Dov Chavim Palach. When he was young, he assumed that Yisrael, that's over the Avodah Zarah, or this Avodah Zarah that he owns B'shutfus with the Nachri, is doing it Al Das the Nachri. He's not really Mekabel this Avodah Zarah, but the Nachri is being over it, and he's trying to mimic the behaviors of the Nachri so that he'll retain ownership of it. But if not for the Nachri Shutfus in it, he would break it, he would sell it, it wouldn't be. So therefore, it's considered to be exclusively the Nachri's. So once the Nachri stops treating it like an Avodah Zarah, the Yisrael automatically is its batel. He always didn't want to treat it like an Avodah Zarah, he was just going along. But in his older years, he thought, Yisrael adaita d'nafshei palach. When Yisrael is doing Avodah Zarah, it's not because he didn't buy in to the Avodah Zarah. He really is bought in to the Avodah. He's mekabel it as a deity. So kim vatal v'chavim d'nafshei, Yisrael lo batel. So the v'chavim is mevatel his own portion, but he cannot be mevatel the Yisrael's portion. So that's one version of this discussion where Rabbi Hil Breid Ravila says that the whole thing is about a shutfus. So you get the Masna Seifa. Others have this comment of Rabbi Hil Rabbi Vilas about the Seifa of the Mishnah where it says Yisrael eino mevatel v'chavim shlo v'chavim, that Yisrael cannot be mevatel a goy's avodah zarah. Pshita, well obviously he cannot be mevatel a goy's avodah zarah. Because Yisrael cannot even be mevatel his own avodah zarah. It requires geniza. Obviously he's not going to be able to mevatel a goy's avodah zarah. So what's the chiddush? So I'm Rabbi Hillel, Breid Rabbi Vilas, lo nitzrucha. The Mishnah has to tell me that Yisrael cannot be mevatel a goy's avodah zarah in a situation where there's a shutfus, and even though that lechor is also pashut, that Yisrael cannot be mevatel the chelek of the nachri, the kamash milan, the chiddush is the diuk that you're supposed to make from that Yisrael hu delo mevatel dovid chavim, that when there's an avodah zarah that's on b'shutfus ben Yisrael la'akum, the Yisrael is not able to be mevatel either portion of it, not the portion of the Ovid Chavim. Avol Ovid Chavim dinav shei mevatel. But the Ovid Chavim on his own chelek, he can be mevatel. Meaning we do not say that since the Ovid Chavim cannot be mevatel the chelek of the Yisrael, because the Samba says that any Avodah Zarah of the Yisrael automatically is Tan Geniza. So therefore, if they own it jointly, the Ovid Chavim cannot even be mevatel his own portion. I would have thought that. So Kamash V'lan, that he is able to be mevatel his own portion. Ika demasna abraisa. And so, some have the comment of Rabbi Hilda, Rabbi Vilas, related to a Braisa, not related to any part of our Mishnah, where the Braisa says as follows, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, Avos Chomishal Yisrael, Ein Lebetela Olamis, and Avot Zor belong to Yisrael, will never be batel. My Olamis, what is it, what's the Chiddush of this word Olamis? Just say Ein Lebetela, can never become batel. Some Rabbi Hilda, Rabbi Vilas, Lo Nitzcha Ela, Sheesh Olav Yichavim Ba Shutafus, that even if it's owned jointly by a Jew and a non-Jew, V'kamash Melondi Yisrael, Adait Enav Shei Palach, and it's telling us that the Yisrael is Oved his Chelik in the Avodah Zarah Al Das himself, not because of his partnership with the guy, and therefore if the Nachri is Mevatel the Avodah Zarah, he's only Mevatel his portion of the Avodah Zarah. He's not able to Mevatel the Yisrael's portion of the Avodah Zarah. New Mishnah now. So once we're on the topic of Bittel, Ketzad Mevatla, how would the Nachri go about being Mevatel his Avodah Zarah? What does he do to it? So Kata Rosh Ozna, Rosh Chotma, Rosh Etzba'a, he cuts off a piece of the ear, of the nose, of the finger, Pchasa, or he hammers a dent into it, Aval Pi Shelo Chisra, even though he didn't make it Chasra anything, even though he didn't knock anything off of it, Bitla. Those are all valid forms of Bitl. However, Rak Bifana, if he spit in its face, Hishtin Bifana, he urinated in front of it, Gira, he dragged it in the mud, Zarek Ba'as Hatzoa, he threw excrement at it, Harezo Eina Betela, that's not Batel, because he didn't do anything to change the physical Avodah Zarah. He just did acts of Bizayon, so it could be that right now he's angry at it, but that's not necessarily an act of Bittul, just because right now he's angry at it. The Rimi Lamil explains that the reason it's not Batela in such situation is because you could just clean it right off and go back to being ovated, meaning since you didn't physically change it, so the person wasn't really being Mevatel, and he Dafka did things that don't permanently alter it, because he knew in the back of his mind that even though he's in a fight right now, he's going to come back to it. So that's why it's not going to be batel. The Rashba, the Nukhe Yosef, point out that that's only if he did this once or twice. So then we say he got angry momentarily, and then he'll go right back to being Ovid Avodah Zarah again. But if he does this constantly, then it's really a bittel. Meaning if this is the way he interacts with this deity, then it's a bittel. Just like we find by an Avodah Zarah, the Avodah Zarah of Aphroditi, that we pointed out in Daf Mem Dalet, that was always standing al pi abiv, where the drainage went out to the Rosh Hashanah, and everyone was knowing minig bizayon. So the Mishnah over there says that by Ivra v'dzara it says Eloheim, and only that which you treat as an Eloha, but that which the whole treatment of it says that they're not treating it like a deity, then it would not be a problem. So if they do this consistently, the Rashba and Mukhe Yosef point out, then a taka would be a bittel. However, the Meiri says, you don't really have a raya from the case of Aphroditi, because over there the reason was that it was a mitchila asal lekach. They made it l'shem bizayon. Over here we're talking about something that was actually worshipped as a deity, and you need more to be mevatel that which is than to never generate in the first place the status. Anyway, the Mishnah says machra umishkina. What if you don't dent it or destroy it, but nor do you just knowing minig bizayon, you sell it or you give it as a mashkon? So Rabbi Yom Bita v'chamrom lo Bita. That's a middle case. That's where there's machlokas. Rabbi says that's batel, and the Chum say that you have not been mevatel it. So says Gemara, wait. In the ratio of the Mishnah, we spoke about cases where you ruin it and therefore you're mevatel it. And one of the cases where you bang it with a hammer. So kilochis from my bitla, if it's not chaser anything, how's it batel? So I'm Rabbi Zera shepchaser b'faneha. You ruin the whole image of the face by making a huge dent right in the face, and that's considered to be an act of bitl. Rakak b'faneha v'hishin b'faneha. We said that if one spat at it or urinated in front of it, then it is not batel, because it could be that he's just angry at it right now. So minan imili, how do I know that the guy's going to go back and be ovid it? So Amr Chizkiyah, Damar Kach, as the pasuk says about the Avodah Zarah of the Aseres HaShvatim that they had. So the pasuk of the Navi Yeshaya says, Vayakir Yirav v'iskatzef v'kilel b'malko uvelohav, and then ufanu l'mayla. At the time of famine, they're angry at their Avodah Zarah, they curse it, and they turn to Shemayim to daven to Hashem instead. And then what happens after that? Uksiv basrei v'ler Eretz Yabit v'Netzar v'Chashecha. The Afal Gav, the Kilel Malkov Elohavu, Fanel Maila El Eretz Yabit. That even though initially they abandoned the Avodah Zarah and turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they go right back El Eretz Yabit. They go right back to looking at the Eretz as their Avodah Zarah. So you see that it's only a temporary displeasure with the Avodah Zarah, that they're angry at the Avodah Zarah, but they're going to go right back to it after some time. Chazanish points out in Yerodei Asim Samach Aleph that we don't say that we learned this from the Pasuk of Iskatzef, and therefore only if you're Mevatel the Avodah Zarah mitoch kas, it's a nebetel, because that's what the Pasuk says, v'iskatzef, that they're angry at the Avodah Zarah, meaning the Mishnah didn't say what your emotions were. The Mishnah spoke about actions. So it said that if you treat it in a disgraceful way, that is not a bittul of the Avodah Zarah. What if you treat it in a disgraceful way, but not in a fit of rage that you're angry at the Avodah Zarah? So if the whole basis for treating it in a disgraceful way, not being considered a bittul, is this pasuk that says they're angry at the Avodah Zarah, and therefore they urinate on it and they spit at it, and then eventually they'll come right back to it. So maybe that's only in such a case. He said, no, you cannot say that it's only if it's in a fit of rage that we say this. Who adin if they're mevazi it's stam? We still assume that that's only temporary, and that they're, meaning there's more reason to assume that if you're angry, that that's only temporary. Anger is typically a temporary emotion. Person gets emotional. If a person very calmly is going and urinating in front of the Avodah Zarah, it just means he doesn't respect it at all. But the Chazanish says the Mishnah didn't say about the emotion. The Mishnah only said about the action. So even if you're just mevazi it's stam, it's not considered a bittul of the Avodah Zarah, we still assume you're going to go back to treating it properly. The reason it's not bittul is because sometimes of the Avodah Zarah are mevazah the Avodah Zarah. However, says the Chazanish, from the fact that the Gemara derived from the pasuk of v'hiskatzef, it sounds like that if the bizayon is an accepted permanent behavior toward the Avodah Zarah, that's the way they plan on treating it permanently, and they're doing it calmly, and they have it b'derech kavua, then enochinami, that would constitute a bittul of the Avodah Zarah. Okay, says the Gemara now, M'charo mishkana rebi om rebital necham said lo bital, that if you sell it or you give it as a mashkon, we had a machlokas tanoim, whether it's bittul or not. So ziri om rabbi yochanan, rabbi yomri baraba, om rav, chad omar, machlokas bitzorif ovid chavim. One opinion says that the machlokas is dafka when you sold the Avodah Zarah to a someone who works with metals, who's a Nachri, who's an Ovid Chavim, that according to Rebbe, the Mocher assumes that whoever's buying it is going to break it down for its for the value of the metal, because he needs it for his business, and therefore when you're selling it, you're being Mevatel, because you know what he's going to do with it. Whereas the Chavim say, no, he's not intending to be Mevatel it, because he assumes that the buyer is not going to break it. He's going to continue to worship it. Aval Bitzorif Yisrael, but if you sell it to a guy who works with metals, who's a Jew, then Divriakol Bitel. Then everyone would agree, obviously the mocher knows that the Jew's going to, you know, melt it down for the value of the metal, and therefore certainly he's being mevatel it. So that's certainly going to be true. Now Tosos points out from the fact that the Gemara says that when you sell it to a Tzorif Yisrael, Divrei Akol, that it's batel, it's lav dafka b'tzorif Yisrael, even a Yisrael that's not a Tzorif, meaning it's about Yisrael, it's not about Tzorif, it's not about his profession, it's about the fact that he's a Jew, that a Yisrael is going to break it and use it for its parts. That is how Tosfos writes. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah Perches Halacha Yud writes that we're dafka tomer tzoref Yisrael. If you sell it to a regular Yisrael who's not a tzoref, then it is not a bittul, because it could be something of value, and the Jew may not plan on worshipping it, but he also may not plan on destroying it. He may plan on turning around and selling it to another Nachri who's going to be interested in worshipping it. So that's the question, whether tzoref matters over here. That's the machlokas in the Rishonim. But be that as it may, we have a machlokas Amoraim. One opinion in Amoraim is that the entire machlokas Tanaim about selling an Avodah Zarah is only when it comes to selling it to an Ovid Chavim. But if you sell it to a Jew, for sure it's a bittul. The Chadom or Bitzorif Yisrael machlokas, that the machlokas in the Mishnah is when you sell it to a Jewish tzoref. Now what does that mean? Does that mean that if you sell it to an Akum that everyone agrees? Say Yibayilu. The Gemara was not sure sure. Bitzar, if you sell machlokas, do you mean to say that the machlokas is only when you sell it to a tzar if Yisrael? But if you sell it to a Rav Chaim, then all the Tanaim and the Mishnah are going to agree that it's not a bitel. Or maybe, no, maybe you're telling me that just like the machlokas applies when you sell it to a tzar if Akum, the machlokas also applies when you sell it to a tzar if Yisrael. So Tashma says, Gemara, let's be poshet this suffix. Dama Rebbe, that Rebbe said that even though I said that I heard from my Rebbeim that a mechira is mevatel an avodah zarah, and the Chachamim held that it's not mevatel, right? That was the machlokas in the Mishnah, that Rebbe says it is a bittel, and the Chachamim say it's not a bittel when you sell it. But nirin dvarai, I think I'm more correct that a mechira is a bittel kishe mechara lechabla, that when you sell it to break it. V'divrei chaverai, and probably the Chachamim are more correct, shemechara la'ovda, that it's not a bittel when you sell it if you're selling it for it to be worshipped. So you see that they argue in both the case of mechara lechabla and the case of mechara la'ovda. But Rebbe's saying, I understand why one would be machriya, then I'm more right in the case of mechara lechabla, and the Rabbanim are more right in the case of mechara la'ovda. But my lechabla, my la'ovda, what does he mean by that? Lechabla and la'ovda. Ilema, if it's to be taken literally, that lechabla, lechabla mamish, that it's being sold to be broken, al menasa, you will destroy it, and la'ovda, la'ovda mamish, la'ovda means I'm selling it for you to use it as a deity, for you to worship it, well then my time of demand yama, Bital. So then what would Rebbe's reason to be for saying that when you sell it la'ovda, that it should be batel? Obviously it's not a bitel if you're selling it with the condition of the sale that it's going to continue to be used as a deity. And why would the Chum say that the mechir is not mevatel it when you sell it l'shavra, when you sell it to break it l'chavla? So obviously you're intending to destroy it. Elav l'chavla the Misha asad l'chabla. No, l'chabla must mean not that you make it a condition of the sale that you should go and destroy it. I'm selling it to someone who I know in all likelihood is going to destroy it. Umanu, and who's that? Sarif Yisrael. That's a Jewish person who's going to break it. So that's where Rebbe is near and divrei Rebbe. That since a mechira to such a person, you're selling it to such a person, probably the kavanah is to be mevatel it, because the Nachri assumes that the Yisrael is going to break it. And la'ovda means l'misha asad li'ovda, the type of person that would use it for worship, umanu, sarif avod chachamim, namely an avod chachamim. And that's where nirin divrei chachamim, that since you're selling it to such a person, probably the intention was not to be mevatelit. But the bottom line is, you therefore see that both the Rebbe and the Chachamim each maintain their opinion, both when you sell it to Yisrael and when you sell it to the Nachri. It's just a question of when is it nirin dvarai and when is it near in divrei chaverai, but the machlokas is in both cases. So says Marlow, you cannot prove that they're arguing in both cases, and it's only about near in dvarai and near in divreihem in one case or the other. It could be that if you sell it to Yisrael, even according to the Chachamim, even according to the Chum, you have been mevatelit. Not like the second day that says that they argue about a case of Tzor of Yisrael, that everyone agrees in the case of Tzor of Yisrael. And Rebbe is just explaining what the Chachamim disagree with him about and what they agree with him about. So Hachik Amar, when he's saying, Amar Rebbe, Nirin Dvarai L'Chaveirai, that my Chaveirim will agree to me, they'll be molded to me, Keshe Mechara L'Chabla, when you sell it to someone who's going to destroy it, Umanu Tzor of Yisrael, namely, when you sell it to a Jew. Shav chaverei lo nechlik alai el kishamachara lo ovda, because even my chaverim only ever disagreed with me when it comes to selling it to a Nachri. Aval chabla moduli, but when it comes to selling it to Yisrael, there was never a machlokas. We all agreed when it comes to selling it to Yisrael that that's absolutely a bittel. So meisvei, they asked from the following, halokeach grutaos min ovid chavim, a person buys pieces of silver from an ovid chavim, umat ben avod chavim, and among the pieces of silver you find a little getchka, you find a little Avodazara. So im achlo nasan ma'os moshach, if before you gave the money to the mocher, you already did the mashiach on the grutaos, so yachsir, return the avodazara to the bailim and he'll let him be mevatelit, and then you could buy it back from him if you want, because the whole mashiach, the kinyan that you did was a mashiach b'taos. You didn't know that there was an avodazara in there. You never would have been kona it as an avodazara. So granted, an avodazara shall Yisrael, you can't be mevatel, but the kinyan was made b'taos, so it still belongs to the nachri. Give it right back. Tim let him be mevatel it, and then you can take it back. But if you've already paid for it, and then you did the Mashicha, Yoluch Yamamelech, then you have to take the Avodah Zarah and chuck it into the Yamamelech, because it's also by none, there's no way to be mevatel it. Even though the Mashicha was Bita'us, you can't just give it back and take back the money, because then it looks like you're selling it back to him. And that you can't do. So, but you see that even when the guy sold it to Yisrael, apparently it wasn't, that itself was not an act of bittul. The fact that the guy was willing to sell it to Yisrael, apparently that's not bittul. So isn't this a raya that when you sell it to Yisrael, it's not bittul? So, yam bishlam b'tzor if you sold machlokes, if the machlokes is about so when you sell it to Yisrael, so then good, hamani rabbanani, then this brisa works great according to the rabbanan, that it's not an act of bittul even when you sell it to Yisrael. But if there was never a machlokas and everyone agrees that when you sell it to Yisrael, that's a bittul of the Avodah Zarah, well then hamani, then who's the author of this brisa? Meaning if Rabbi Elacham never argued about a case of selling it to Yisrael, and then that's for sure an act of bittul, well this brisa makes it pretty clear it's not an act of bittul, so who's the author of the brisa? It says, no, the case of the brisa is the guy didn't realize he was sticking an avodah zarah in there. He thought he was just giving him a bunch of random pieces of silver. So there was no das at all to be mevatel. But when a guy knows that he's selling an avodah zarah to Israel, yeah, then that's going to be an act of bittel. But in this case, the guy had no idea. That's lechora what changes between the kasha and the teretz. That's what the Ritva points out. Then in the kasha, the assumption was that the guy knew that there was an avodah zarah in there. It was only the Jew that discovered and was unaware prior to this transaction that there was an avodah zarah in there. So the teretz is, no, just like the Jew didn't know, the guy didn't know either. It got mixed in with all the other silver. He didn't realize that there was an avodah zarah in there. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. Lava aleh o shanafla aleh mapolis. Different types of abandonment of an avodah zarah. Let's say a person, the Nachri, borrows money and uses the Avodah Zarah as a mashkon, or a building caves in on the Avodah Zarah and he does nothing to try to rescue it from the fallen building. Oshigun vua listin, or it was taken by bandits and he does nothing to chase after them. Or the Bailim just left, he abandoned and went to Medina Siyam. If they plan on coming back, just like the Amori people in Melchemes Yoshua, then ain't a betela, then it's not going to be batel. But otherwise, it's batel. There's no plans on going back for it. So utzricha. We needed all of those cases just to basically say the same din that if he abandons it, then it's batel. Ditana lava ala, because if it only would have told me using it as a mashkon midlo zabna lo batel, I would have thought, well, a mashkon you plan on getting back, so it's not a final sale. Maybe that's not a betel. Av nafala mapolas midlo kamafanila eme betuli batla. But when a mapolas falls in, when a building caves in on it, from the fact that he's not rummaging through the rocks and whatever else in order to find it, that's a sign that he was mevatel it. So tricha vita nafalala mapolis, and if it only would have told me the case of the fallen building, mishum that he's where he's not rummaging through the rubble, mishum to savar hamunachas, because he thinks, okay, whenever I have time to go through the rubble, I know where it is. It's under that pile of rubble. I'll go get it. But he's not being mevatel. He's just saying later, but when it's gonvua listed, when bandits took it, you better act now, or else you're never gonna be able to get it. It's not staying in one place. So the fact that he doesn't chase after it, that's a sure sign of bittul. So tricha, that's why he has to tell me that even then it's not going to be considered a bittul. Vitan a gonvua listed. If it only would have told me the case of gonvua listed, mishum to savar iyovin chavim shakala miflach palachla, is because he holds that if the guy is going to, if the listed were nachrim, they'll worship it. So good, it will continue to be used as a deity. And he is Shal Shakla, and even if a Jew took it, I did the Tamei Yikarin, Masmila Lavichavim Palachla. Since it's very expensive, the Jew will just turn around and sell it to an Avichavim, and it will continue to be used as an Avodah Zarah, so there's no Bittul. Avalim Yichua, Bailim Valchum, Medina Siyam, Midlo Shakla Badayu. But if the Bailim went to Medina Siyam and didn't take it with, so Bituli Batlua, I would assume that that is an automatic Bittul. So Tzricha, that's why he has to tell me that it's not Bittul in that case, either since he was not actively, the abandonment alone is not an active bittul, and therefore it's not considered to be a real bittul. The Rishonim struggle, why not just tell me the last case of Halchu Medina Siyam, that Afal Pikein, that you went to Medina Siyam, that even that's not a bittul, and then, of course, Listim and the rubble and everything else is also not a bittul. Okay, so the Rishonim deal with that as well. It could be that it's a lozu avzu, that's how the Ritva understands. So now, we had said in the Brisa, Im asidin laksar kemilchemes Yoshua eina betela. If you can come back, like by Milchemes Yoshua, then it's not going to be batel. Frak the Gemara, wait, historically, Navi, midi Milchemes Yoshua mehadar hadar, you learn the Navi. That's how it happened. Yeah, they conquered them, they defeated them, the Amorim were gone. They never came back after the war. So what does that mean, if they're going to come back like Milchemes Yoshua? So achi kamar, im asidin laksar harehu kemilchemes Yoshua veina betela. That if the Bailim plans on coming back, then this Avodah Zarah is considered to be an Avodah Zarah that is usher, just like the Avodah Zarah of the Amorim that went out to Milchemes Yoshua, where they thought that they're gonna go back, and therefore it's usher banan, it's not batal. Not that they actually came back; they never actually came back, but their Avodah Zarahs were usher, right? So would have that status. Why do we have to bring in Milchemes Yoshua over here? I mean, it didn't even happen over there. So just say that if they plan on coming back, they don't plan on coming back. Just say the din. Why do you have to make it connected to Milchemes Yoshua? So the Gemara explains, because there is another halacha in Hilchos Avodah Zarah that we taka derive from Milchemes Yoshua. So therefore, we explain all as many halachas as we can in the context of Milchemes Yoshua. Milsa agav orcha kamash malan. The Tanna is telling us something agav orcha. As follows. Ki hadam Rav Yudom Rav Yisrael shazakav levena l'shtachvosla. Rav Yudom Rav said that if a Jew erects a brick, he stands it up in a way that it stands tall with the intent to be mishtachavet to it, but he has not yet been ovided, so it's not yet an avodah zarah. Uba ovicham mishtachavala, and then ovicham comes and is mishtachavet to it, asra. It becomes asra right away, even though ain't the most of shein shalom. But the Jew is already megaladas that he wants it to be used in this way. And how do I know this din? I know this din from the avodah zarah of the Amorim that went out to Milchemes Yoshua, and therefore the Tana says, so if I know that din from Milchemes Yoshua, will explain other din in Milchemes Yoshua. So minalan, where does this din da'asara, where does this din taka come from that it's asa? So Amar Blazar, kitchila shel Eretz Yisrael. It's just like when we initially went into Eretz Yisrael. To Amar Rachmana, that the Torah says, about the Avodah Zarah of the Amorim, Vashreim Tisrufun Be'esh, that even the trees of Eretz Yisrael, that the Nachrim turned into an Asherah, and that they worshipped, they became Aser, and you have to burn them, you have to destroy them. So how could the Nachrim that came into Eretz Yisrael ever have made those trees Aser? Meaning, by what right can they Aser trees? Michti Yerushi Lemei Avosayim. This land belonged to us already from the days of Avram Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Avram Avinu and Eretz Yisrael, Kum Esalich Baret, so now the Goyim are going to go and they're going to be able to asser our land, our trees? How could that be? Maybe you can tell me, it's about the trees that predated Avram Avinu. Well, that you could just force the Nachri to be Mevatel the Avodah Zarah, because Bittel of a Nachri works for an Avodah Zarah of a Nachri. So if it was trees that never belonged to the Jewish people, so good, let a Nachri be Mevatel. No, what happened was, you're right, this belonged to Yisrael, but the second the Jewish people did the Egel, they were showing approval of Avodah Zarah. And when the Avodah Chavim came and they started worshipping the trees, that's considered to be with the approval of the Yisrael. So that's a raya to this idea that if Zakaf Levena, that if a Jew sets up something to be used as an Avodah Zarah, he's just Megalad Das, that it's Nichale that it will be used as an Avodah Zarah. And then the Nachri comes and actually worships it. The Nachri is going to Aser it. That's exactly why these trees in Eretz Yisrael were Aser. So the Gemara says, Hachanami, Yisrael Shazakov Levena, and therefore that would apply in our case as well. If the Jew stands up a brick, he is demonstrating that he is in approval of the Avodah Zarah. When the Ovil Chavim comes and worships it, Shlichus a Didei Kavod. He's doing the Shlichus of the Yisrael, and therefore he assers it as if the Yisrael had worshipped it. So the Gemara discusses this concept that when Klal Yisrael violated the Cheda Egel, that shows an overall approval for every Avodah Zara in the world, and therefore anyone who does anything with who treats anything belonging to us as Avodah Zara, good, it becomes an Avodah Zara. Says Gemara, how do you know? V'dilma be'egel d'nichalahu b'midya chrin alone. When we worshiped the Egel, we were all excited about the Egel. Who says that we would have been excited about everything else that we own being used as an Avodah Zara? So says Gemara, because Amar Kra, the Pasuk says by the Egel, Eila Elohecha Yisrael, that Eila Elohecha Yisrael, that these, not Zeh or Elohecha, Eila, Melamed Sheivil Elohes Harbe, that it wasn't only about the Egel, it was about all sorts of Avodah Zaras. And therefore, when the Nachrim worshipped the trees, that was also something the Jews were in favor of. So, frankly, Gemara, but still, Eila tells you that it was multiple, but it does it tell you that it was everything? Maybe all the Asher... I'm sorry, that's not the Gemara's question. The Gemara's question is, maybe only those Asheros that were around when we did the Egel became Aser, because those were Nevad with the Shlichus of Yisrael. But maybe any trees that were planted in between the Cheda Egel and when we actually entered Eretz Yisrael, those trees should be Mutter. We should not have to burn down those trees. Yet the Chumash makes it sound like as soon as we enter Eretz Yisrael, find every tree that was worshipped and burn them all down. Well, many of those trees that were worshipped may have only come after the Egel and therefore were not with the approval of Yisrael, or they not planted, but they were only worshipped after the Egel, when we read the Tshuva, we showed that we're not happy with the Avodah Zarah. So it says, well, Man Mochach, who's going to be able to tell you which tree was Nevad at the time of the Cheda Egel and which was only Nevad after the time of the Cheda Egel, after we did Tshuva? And since there's no way of knowing it, the Torah has to aser all of the trees that were worshipped prior to our arrival in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why we have to burn them all down. So a new Mishnah again about abandonment. If an avodah zara that whose worshippers abandoned it, if it's at a shas shalom, so then they abandon it, they're mevatel it, because why do they have to leave it? But b'shas mulchama asura, if it was at a shas mulchama, they were on the run, they couldn't, they were so bahul, they couldn't bring every Avodah Zarah with them, that's not a sign of bittul. They probably want to come back to it. The stones that are meant as a pedestal for an Avodah Zarah that they put on the roads, and when the Melech walks by, he puts his Avodah Zarah there and he's mishtachavet to it. Harel mutaros. The pedestals themselves do not have an isra'anam. They only use it temporarily as the king is passing by, but it has no permanent meaning to them. So Amar Rabbi, Beis Nimrod, the Tower of Bavel that the Anshei Dor HaPlaga built Avodah Zarah in the where Nimrod was Melech, Harei Kavod Zchavim Shenichu Avodah B'Shas Shalom Umutar. That's like an Avodah Zarah that whose worshippers abandoned it at a Shas Shalom, and it is therefore Mutar. Avogav D'chi Badrinu Rachmana K'Shas Melchamadami. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is spreading this, scattering them, and mixing up the language, so it was a time of great behilos, there was confusion or whatever, so shouldn't that be considered like Shas Mulchama? So but if afterwards they wanted to return to go back to it and to be over it, they could have. And the fact that they didn't, that shows that they were mevatelit. So even though in Achinami, the circumstances of their abandonment of that Avodah Zarah were a time of great confusion and stress and whatever, but the whole point that times of great confusion are not a bittul is because we assume as soon as everything comes down, they'll go right back. These people never came back. So we said the pedestals of the malachim, those are mutar. So the Mishnah doesn't seem to read straight. It says because they put it up when kings are passing by, that's why it's mutar. That seems to be a reason why it should be aser, that they put it up dafka to service Avodah Zarah. Shouldn't that make it aser? So I'm Rabbi Bechana, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Hachi Kamar. Mnesha Ma'amidin Osa B'shash Malachim Ovrin, and the point is, V'malachim Manichin Derech Zuv Alchim Derech Acheres. The kings don't even bother coming back on the same road. They don't care about it. They're not interested in it anymore. They're going to go on some other road. They'll set up a pedestal somewhere else. So that's why it does not have the status of an Avod Zarah with any permanence. Kiyasu Ula, when Ula came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Yosef Abimsa Pegima, he sat on one of these pedestals that was pogum, that was dented. Somele Rav Yudu Ula, Rav Shmuel Dar Mitzavayus, Rav Yudu said to Ula, wait, both Rav and Shmuel say, Bimo Shenifkam Aser, that even if it's dented, it's Aser Bana. Vafilu Man Diyamara Ein Ovdim L'Shvarim, and even if you assume that people of the Chavim do not worship broken Avod Zarahs, Hanimi Lavos Chavim Dezila Bamilsa, the Miflach L'Shvarim, Aval Hailo Ichbalei, that's only the Avod Zarah itself, but the pedestal they'll still use, even if it's a little bit dented. So therefore, it should be Aser Ba'ana. So I'm lay. So Ula said back to Yehuda, wow, you're quoting me from Rav and Shmuel. Man Yavlan Me'afra de Rav and Shmuel. If only I had some of the dirt from on the Kvarim of Rav and Shmuel, Umalinana Ayonin, I would have filled my eyes with it because of my great covet for them. They're such great tzaddikim. But, HaRabbi Yochan Reish Lakish, Rami Tavai, Rabbi Yochan Reish Lakish, both say, Bimos Shenifkam Mutter, that a Bimos that becomes Nifkam is Mutter. Afilu Man Yamar Ovdin L'Shvarim. And even if you assume that they are Ovid to Shvarim, Hani Milavos Chavim Dikim Depalcha Zila Bamilsa Levetula, they would only be Ovid to a Shever, so because once they've been Ovid it, it's a Zilzel for them to be Mevatel it. Avalhani, but the Bimos itself, Shakalai, Maisi Bimos Achrina, they're not so attached to it. They'll just bring another Bimos in its place. And Tanya Kavase, Rabbi Yochum Reish Lagash, Bimos Shenifka Mutter. Actually, we'll pick up with that tomorrow. Okay, we'll pick up with Tanya Kavase tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful day. And a mazel tov to the Graf family.